Well, we're starting a new mini-series for the next couple of weeks leading into Christmas on the power of honor. And God says something remarkable in 1 Samuel 2:30. But I will honor those who honor me, and I will despise those who think lightly of me. So God says, I will honor those who honor me. So there is an honor system that God has set up as a universal principle. And honor sets in motion the full blessings of God. Honor is the key that unlocks the miracles of God in our lives. In Mark chapter 6, we see that Jesus went back to his hometown of Nazareth, and he's preaching in the temple, and people are amazed at his teaching. And then someone begins to say, wait a minute, isn't that Jesus who grew up here in Nazareth? Isn't that the same Jesus who's Mary and Joseph's boy? I mean, he grew up down the street from me. His kids went to Nazareth High with my kids. He's no big deal. In fact, I remember he worked with his dad in the carpenter shop down the street. In fact, honey, I think Jesus built our kitchen table, didn't he? Isn't that the guy that built our kitchen table? Yeah. He's nothing special. And look what Jesus said about his hometown in Mark 6:4. Jesus said to them, only in his hometown, among his relatives, and in his own house is a prophet without honor. He could not do any miracles there, except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. So they refused to honor Jesus, and it kept him from doing all the miracles he wanted to do. So honor sets in motion the full blessings of God, but dishonor limits the blessings of God. I want you to underline the phrase, he could not do any miracles there. He couldn't do any miracles except heal a few people. Now, it's interesting to me, it doesn't say he wouldn't do any miracles there. That would be more understandable to me, that Jesus said, hey, you're not going to honor me, so I choose not to do any miracles for you. But it doesn't say that he wouldn't do any miracles there. It says he could not do any miracles there. God has set up his honor system, and he's placed himself within it. And that's why dishonor limits the blessings of God. And honor opens up the full blessings of God in our lives. In fact, honor is the secret to building lasting relationships, honoring each other. Honor is the foundation for building strong families. Honor is the glue that holds societies together. We've got to get back to this value of honor. And it all starts with honoring God. Honor always starts vertically with honoring God, then it moves horizontally as we honor each other. Now, don't get me wrong. We can never earn God's blessings. By honoring God, by honoring others, we don't honor God to say, God, I'm honoring you so you'll love me more. No, God loves us completely unconditionally. We honor God because he loves us so much. Honoring God doesn't get us forgiveness and grace and salvation. No, we honor God because he gives us forgiveness, grace, and salvation. It's all a gift from him. I can't deserve God's blessings. I can't earn God's blessings. It's all a gift of God. It's all from God's grace. We're all trophies of God's grace. But God does allow me to put myself in position to experience his blessings when I put myself in his honor system. When I place myself in this honor system that he has set up from the beginning of the world. So if honor is so powerful, what is it? Well, in the Hebrew, the word honor is the word kabod, and it literally means weight or heaviness. And so honor is when I give weight, importance, seriousness, value to someone. So when I honor God, it means that I give him the weight, the importance, the value, the seriousness that he demands and deserves in my life. On the other hand, the root of the word dishonor in the Hebrew is a picture of an early morning mist, a light mist that you can just brush away with your hand. Not heavy at all, just a light mist you can just brush away. And so when I dishonor God, I treat him as if I can just brush him off, as if he's not important, not weighty, valuable in my life. Now, honoring God produces many blessings. And I want us to open our Bibles to Proverbs chapter 3, because here we see a passage that's all about God's honor system, and it gets real practical on how to put ourselves into God's honor system. So would you stand in honor of God's word and just follow along with me? Trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Listen for God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go. He's the one who will keep you on track. Don't assume that you know it all. Run to God. Run from evil. Your body will glow with health. Your very bones will vibrate life. Honor God with everything you own. Give him the first and the best. Your barns will burst. Your wine vats will brim over. Dear God, I thank you for this honor system that you have set up. We thank you that everything is from your grace and that you, by your grace, allow us to put ourselves into your honor system. And I pray today that you would just bring our hearts back as we move into the Christmas season to what honor is all about, and that we would honor you first with our lives. Show us how to do that and help us do that. And Lord, I pray that you would work miracles of forgiveness and spiritual healing and physical healing and emotional healing, relational healing here today. Because you are here today to bring healing and strength to us as we come to you and experience it. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. So what are the blessings of God? If honor really brings to bear the full blessings of God in my life and dishonor limits God's blessings in my life, what are the blessings of God? This passage talks about it. First, divine guidance. It says, he will keep you on track. In the New Living Translation, it says, that he will show you which path to take. So when you're faced with a difficult decision, if you're honoring God, God says, I won't let you go wrong. I'll guide you to the right decision. I'll give you the wisdom to make the right choice. Another benefit of honor is divine restoration. He says, your body will glow with health. Your bones will vibrate life. So honoring God opens the door to divine restoration and healing in my life. Healing from damaged emotions, spiritual healing, physical healing, relational healing from honor. And then divine provision. It says your barns will burst and your wine vats will brim over. So God says, honor me and I'll provide for you. I'll give you provision. I will bring about this principle of overflow in your life to provide for you, to bless you so you can be a blessing. So how do I honor God? These are some really powerful promises that we want in our lives. So how do we honor God? Well, I have to give God the weight, the heaviness, the importance, the substance, the value that he demands and deserves in my life. Now, that sounds kind of vague to me. How do I do that? Well, the writer of Proverbs tells us. He gets real specific. First, I honor God and give him the weight that he deserves when I give him my best. In verse 9, it says, honor God with everything you own. Give him the first and the best. Underline that phrase, give him the first and the best. That's it right there. Give him the first and the best of your life. He deserves the first and the best, not the last and the leftovers, but the first and the best. Now, underline the phrase, with everything you own, because when we think of that phrase, everything you own, we think of finances, and sure, it means that, but it's much more than that. Everything you own means everything that God has given you. So that means your gifts and talents, your time. God says, I want you to give me the first and the best of everything that I have given you. Give back to me the first and the best. So I honor God in my work when I go all out and give an all-out effort. I dishonor God at my workplace when I give a half-hearted effort. It dishonors God. That's why the scripture says, in whatever you do, do it with all your heart. Is working unto the Lord because he's your boss. Ultimately, he's your boss. And so whenever I do anything, if I do it with all my heart and give God the first and the best, it honors God. You can wash dishes and honor God if you do it with all your heart and give it your very best. Everything you do, give it your best. If I give any less than my best, it dishonors God. And of course, we at Woodland Church believe in honoring God. And that's why we try to do everything we do with excellence. And that's why I'm so proud of all of our volunteers. Because all these volunteers in the parking lot, in the cold, or in the heat of Houston in August, are out there smiling and waving, and they want to do it. Whatever they do, and some of these guys are and ladies are major business people in their work or in their corporation. They make major decisions every day, but they're serving in our children's ministry, serving in the parking lot, and they're waving. They're going, if I'm going to wave for Jesus Christ, I'm going to do it the best I can with God's power. That honors God. Everything we do at Woodland Church, we want to do it with excellence. Not so that we can be excellent. No, because when we give God our best and honors him, he deserves our best. Because I've just heard so many times over the years, people say things like, well, it's just church. You don't have to do it that great. It's just church. It's no big deal. But if it's their home, it's a big deal. But if it's church, no big deal. You know, our missionaries, you know, they used to give them all the old leftovers. You know, the missionaries come into town to visit the church. Maybe I've got some old clothes that I would never want to wear. I'll give it to the missionaries. They're just missionaries. It's like, you know, there's this mentality in churches that it's just church, so we don't have to give an all-out effort. At Woodland Church, we give an all-out effort because we're honoring God. We want to be excellent, not to be excellent, but to honor God because he deserves our best. And that's why we do all our Christmas Eve services. I talk to my pastor friends all the time who say, how do y'all do all those Christmas Eve services? And Carrie, how do you get the staff and all the volunteers to do all those services? Because we just close our church down on Christmas Eve and we all go home. You know, we don't do Christmas Eve services. It's too tough. I can't get anybody to serve. It's just too hard. And I always say it's because we want to make Jesus known. And this is our chance. And that's why we do 30 Christmas Eve services. And by the way, they start 2 weeks from yesterday. To get all 30 in, starts 2 weeks from yesterday, and it's called Illuminate this year. We've been working on it for a long time, and it's amazing how it's coming together. It's going to be so creative, but it's all about what Christmas is all about, Jesus Christ, the real meaning of Christmas. And that's why we do it, to lift up Jesus, because there are people who only come once a year to church, and this is our chance to show them what Christmas is all about so they can find the real gift of Christmas. You know, we got people that come once a year and they're going, man, every time I come down there, all they're talking about is baby Jesus. Seems like that pastor only has one message. No, it's because you only come once a year, okay? come one other time, you know? But you know what we say? We say, that's awesome. We love it if you only come once a year. I know pastors who go, if you're going to come once a year or twice a year, Christmas and Easter, we don't want you down here at the church. You're a stench in the nostrils of God. I've always wanted to say that. But we say, hey, if you only come to church once a year, that's awesome. Come and hear the message, because so many of you used to come once a year and God got a hold of your heart and you've never been the same. This is our chance. That's why we do all that we do. And on Christmas Day, my wife Chris and I have a hangover. We have a Christmas spiritual hangover and it feels horrible. But you know, we don't even know where we are on Christmas Day after 30 services. You know, it's like when our kids were little, the kids would go, man, what happened to Santa Claus? Was he drunk? The packages are just half wrapped, you know? What happened? So, but you know what? We do it, and our team is amazing. All our team, our volunteers, we do it because it's our chance to lift up Jesus, and we're going to do things excellent for him, to honor God, because Christmas is about Christ, and to honor him. Well, then we give our greatest gift to Christ at Christmas. Sure, when it says honor God with everything you own, it also means, you know, your finances. And that's why in our family, Chris, about 15 years ago, said, Carrie, it just seems like everybody at Christmas gets a gift except for the real birthday boy, Jesus Christ. You know, and we love giving gifts and getting gifts, and gifts are great, and Christmas, we love everything about, you know, celebrating, but really, it seems like Christ gets forgotten. And so in our family, what we did, we started adding up the cost of the gifts, and then we would write out a check that would be more than the gifts, the cost of the gifts, so that Christ would get our greatest gift at Christmas for the missions and the ministries of the church. And our kids saw us do that, and we started inviting them in on it, and so to help them see that Jesus gets the best gift, because he's the birthday boy. And it made a difference in our family, and so we brought it into the church years ago, and it's something that's really helpful to our families here at Woodland Church. As we do this every year, we give our greatest gift to Christ at Christmas. And so you'll notice in your program, you've got the offering envelope, and next week is when we give our greatest gifts, and the children are collecting their change. That's why they're shaking you down for all your change right now. They're stealing that from you to give it to Jesus. So, and they'll bring in their little boxes next week. But we want to give our greatest gifts to Christ at Christmas. So be thinking, be praying about that, what God would have you give, and come ready to give over and above our regular giving. And it all goes 100% to our missions and ministries for God's glory, to lift his name up, to show people the love of Christ and share with people the love of Christ. Well, I want you to see that I honor God when I give him my best, and then I honor God when I acknowledge him first. I honor God when I acknowledge him first. In verse 5, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight." In all your ways, acknowledge him. So in all your ways and all you do, put him first. Whatever area you want God to bless you in, put him first in that area. If you want him to bless your marriage, put him first in your marriage. If you want him to bless your relationships, put him first in that relationship. If you want him to bless your family, put him first in your family. If you want him to bless your finances, put him first in your finances. If you want him to bless your workplace, put him first in your work. Whatever area you want God to bless you in, put him first. Honor him in that area. My dad, years ago, gave me a little formula that practically has helped me put God first, to show me when I'm not putting God first, and to help me put God first. And here it is. Give God the first day of my week. Give God 1 hour on the first day of the week, or as you start your week, Saturday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night. It's one of all these services you can pick, and at all of our satellites. And 1 hour. Sometimes people say, well, I'm just too busy. It's just too busy, you know, to give God that hour. Or this weekend is just too busy. Well, then you're too busy, because God says, if you'll give me that 1 hour focus on me, then you put yourself into my honor system so I can honor the rest of your week. God honors those who honor him. Give him the first. Make it a priority this coming year that worshiping God comes first. And the first day of the week, you're going to give God that hour so he can take care of your week. And then give God the first part of my day, the first 10, 15 minutes of your day. Spend time reading his word, maybe a psalm, a proverb, just meditating on scripture, praying to him about what's coming up in your day, writing down what you're learning. And then God, it seems to expand your day when you give him the first part of your day. And then give God the first consideration in all my decisions. You know, even the little decisions God cares about. Have you ever made a decision without praying about it? Sure, we all have. Have you ever bought a car and you didn't pray about it? I did that one time, and I bought such a lemon, it was horrible. God wants you to pray for it before you pay for it, okay? He cares about all the little things in our lives. He wants you to pray about all the decisions you make. And then give God the first portion of all my income. Give him the first 10% to show that he's first place in your life. We got a really special guest this weekend who really honors God with his talents. He's Dwight Howard, a great NBA player, a friend of Woodlands Church. And I last night, Dwight stopped by, and I interviewed him today. He's got a ball game, and it's his birthday today, and he's heading over to the basketball game. But he's going to come back and be with us live January 19th for the Sunday morning services. And I want to show you the interview I did live with him last night that he wanted us to share today as well. And of course, those of you who know much about Dwight Howard, he's a 7-time NBA All-Star, 3-time NBA Defensive Player of the Year, which I think is awesome because that shows how he works and gives it effort, 5-time rebounding leader, Olympic gold medalist. And of course, the best thing about Dwight Howard, he's a new Houston Rocket. And so I want you to watch this because Dwight, we just had a great time together, and he's just really was very real, you know, with us and sharing with us, and he wanted you to see this. Then also, he said, invite your friends, come back January 19th, and we're going to team up again the weekend of January 19th, and he's going to hang out with us and get to hang out at the Sunday morning services as well. So just watch, and I know you'll be blessed. Yeah. You know what? I hope when I grow up I'll be as tall as Dwight. Who knows? Man, what an honor to have you here at Woodlands Church.
Thank you. This is a beautiful church.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what an honor to have you in Houston. I speak for every person in Houston. Thank you for listening to God's will and getting out of L.A. We know, yeah. We know he listens to God because he came to Houston, right? Okay. Hey, we're so glad you're here. Hey, by the way, guys, tomorrow is Dwight's birthday. It's another neat thing that he honored us by being here. So wish him a great birthday.
I'm getting old.
He says he's old. You're not old, man.
Yeah,
you're...
I'm getting old.
No, you're not old at all, buddy.
I'm the oldest guy on the team.
You are the oldest guy on the Rockets?
Well, it's one guy. He's 33. Yeah. But as far as like years and all that stuff, I'm the oldest.
You're kidding. Well, doesn't that feel good to be not with the Lakers where you were the youngest?
I wasn't the youngest, but there was a lot of old guys on that team.
Hey, Dwight has not said one bad thing, okay? This is me doing all the jabs,
it's all him.
Okay? It's all me. It's all me. Because I'm not worried about it. Even though those of you watching in Los Angeles, God bless you. We love you. Got that out of the way. Anyway. Hey, Dwight. I got to ask you about that decision first. We were talking about divine guidance and honoring God, and you get divine guidance. I can't even imagine the pressure you were under, you know, as a free agent and, you know, trying to figure out what to do. And you know you're going to make some people really sad and some people really happy. How do you deal with that?
It was one of the hardest things that I ever had to do in my life. It was almost like a two-year process because it started in Orlando. And I prayed and asked God, what should I do? And he gave me clear direction. You know, he said, I want you to leave. And I'm like, man, but what about all these people? You know, what about, you know, I wanted to please everybody, you know. And I'm like, man, I don't want all my fans to be upset. I don't want them to hate me. I don't want them to say I'm LeBron for leaving my hometown and all that stuff. And, you know, it was really affecting me to the point where every day I had, like, this big headache. I just had this headache, and it just seemed like nothing would go right because I didn't know what to do, and I just kept asking God, and I told you what to do, just do it. And I'm like, this is so hard. This is so hard. And then I injured my back, and I think all that happened because I didn't listen. You know, God gave me instructions, and I did something else. I stayed in Orlando when he asked me to leave, and he allowed me to just, he basically humbled me. And I would tell all of you guys, I would rather humble myself now than have God humble me again, you know, because it hurts. Mm-hmm. And I could recall just laying in that bed for 5-6 months, couldn't do it. Dribble a basketball, couldn't shoot, couldn't run. I could barely walk. You know, first day or two, I had a walker, and it was an experience that I don't wish on anybody. And then I got traded to LA, and I thought everything would be fine for a while, but God said it was something he had planned for me. And I went through the whole season. It was probably one of the toughest things I've ever had to do. I came back from an injury too fast. Mentally, I was ready to play, but physically, my body just wasn't there. But I tried to push through as much as possible because I wanted to win so bad. I wanted all the bad stuff that was said about me to just go away. I thought just by playing, it would. But it was all a big test for me. And this summer, I had the same opportunity. Am I going to listen to God? Or am I going to do it my way again? And this time I chose to do it. You know, he said, I did exactly what he wanted me to do. He said, I want you to go to Houston. And this is going to be the best place for you. Everything that you lost, you're going to get it back. And I was excited about that. And I'm in a much better place now, mentally, physically, and spiritually than I was, you know, all last year.
That's awesome. You can see the joy on your face playing basketball. You can see it's Dwight Howard again. But I can't imagine how tough that would be in Orlando because you've done so much there in the community. I mean, you know, you're always giving back. You're always being unselfish. And you just did that for years in Orlando. Right. So I can, you know, I can't understand it, but I can feel for you, you know, thinking, I don't want to let these people down. But isn't that the tug we always have is that audience of one, God, you know, through Jesus Christ. And then all the voices, and you just got so many voices coming at you.
Yeah, like I said, it was the hardest thing, you know, I've ever done in my life. And, you know, People make decisions every day, you know, but most of the time their decisions are not broadcasted for the whole world to see it.
Praise God.
And I just had to wake up every day and hear everybody say, you should stay here, go here, do this and do that. And my mind was all over the place. You know, every day it's like somebody want me to do this and do that. And I'm like, man, what am I supposed to do? And the last couple of days in Orlando, I can recall being at an event with some kids, and a family actually came up to me and said, please don't leave. And they started crying. And I almost broke down. I had to turn away. I said, I'm not going to do this in front of these people. I can't cry. Mm-hmm. But it was just, I could feel, you know, for them. But at the same time, it's like I had to do what's best for Dwight and do what God wants me to do. Yeah. But it was so hard.
Yeah, and it puts you in a place where you had never been. Mm-hmm. But God used that, didn't it? That's so cool how God used that, man, to... Boy, I've been humbled so many times in my life, and you look back and you go, thank you, God. But during the time, you're going, why? What me? Are you doing, God?
I felt like that for so long, like, why me? Why am I going through all this? Why I have to be the one basically that everybody's beating up on? Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was so hard to deal with, you know. Mm-hmm. I went to a very, very small school. We had 16 people graduate out of my high school class.
No.
And yes.
Yeah, you were the tallest, I'm sure.
Yeah, I was the tallest one ever. But my school was just, it was a tiny school.
Yeah.
And so nobody expected me to go to the NBA. And we were just in this atmosphere of love.
Yeah.
You know, coming from a small school, small Christian school. Mm-hmm. We prayed together every day. Then when I got out into the world, it was like a total opposite from what I was used to. And having to deal with that the last couple of years, you know, was something that I've never dealt with before.
Yeah. Well, I know when you were 18 years old and you get drafted number one by Orlando right out of high school, you're the best player in the country. Mm-hmm. You're the franchise player, 18. I can't even imagine that. But I know you said something that really caught my eye, that you said, I want to go in the NBA and really bring glory to God. I want to get God's name out there. Tell us about your faith.
Well, you know, I've been a believer since I was 12 years old. Mm-hmm. That's when I really, you know, changed my life.
Yeah.
And it all happened crazy. I tell this story to my teammates, and they always laugh, and they say, no way, this really happened. Mm-hmm. But I was going to church one day on a Friday night, and I was in the house alone, and I said, God, what do you want me to do with my life? Like, what's my purpose? Why am I on this earth? And all of a sudden, somebody calls my name out of the bathroom, Dwight. And I'm like, hold up. I'm in the house by myself. Nobody's here. Who's calling my name? So I said, Dwight again. And I went to my bathroom, and God spoke. He told me what he wanted me to do, what my purpose was. And I said, okay, if this is really God, when I get to church tonight, tell me again. So I get to church. At the end of service, pastor, he says, if anybody's having a stomachache right now, please come up. And I had this real bad stomachache. I'm like, this is crazy. What in the world is going on? So I'm like, should I go to the bathroom or should I go see the pastor? So I get up, I go see the pastor. He prays, and he says the exact same thing that was said to me in the bathroom. And, you know, said, your purpose is to preach God's word in the NBA and bring light to him and what he's doing for me and for everybody else. And
it's
after going to the NBA and being here for 10 years, it's tough.
Mm-hmm.
It's very tough. Mm-hmm. And God has really brought me a long way.
Yeah, that's awesome how he's working in your life and
how he's
bringing. You got a lot more people praying for you now. That's for sure. Our whole church is going to be praying for you in a big way.
Thank you, guys.
You know, I really appreciate it, Dwight. I mean, when you honor God through, you know, really making church something that you lift up and the local churches, that really is cool. And this is the first church that Dwight has spoken to really... share his faith in Houston. He's done it so many times, and he shares his faith, and he loves God. But so we become prayer partners with Dwight, okay, after this weekend. everyone has to commit to pray for him. And not just for his basketball, okay? I mean, they're all praying for you every day for that. We all know that. Just but we're praying for you just for God's blessing in your life, man.
And I appreciate that.
Yeah. Well, you're an 18-year-old kid. You go to the Orlando Magic, and you become an all-star. You lead them to the NBA Finals. Did you know back then how tough it would be to get to the NBA Finals, or did it just seem easy? I mean, you got the whole team on your back.
Well, it's not easy. Mm-hmm. And from the outside looking in before I got to the NBA, you know, a lot of people say, oh, these guys, they look like they don't play hard. It looks easy. But once I stepped on that floor, you know, I started playing against these grown men, you know, who are very smart, very tricky, and they understand the game to the point where it takes 4 or 5 years to get there.
Oh yeah.
And it's tough. To get to the finals is the hardest thing I've ever done in my life. And not just because of the talent of the other teams, but first you play 82 games. And for me coming in at 18, it was a total adjustment.
I can't imagine the competition you were at.
Oh, yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I was, well, in high school, 6'5 was the tallest guy I was playing against.
Yeah.
And then now I'm going to the league where I'm playing against Yao Ming and Dikembe Mutombo, Shaq, and all these guys who are 7'5", and I'm looking up at them like, man, what am I going to do?
But you know, that's when you became Superman.
Well, actually, it was Superman. It was crazy. It came from a dance I used to always do, and my teammates would see me do crazy stuff in the weight room. I would bench press like crazy amounts of weight, and I actually jumped over a guy one day in practice. He was same height as myself. Wow. And I jumped over him, and my teammates were like, man, you like Superman for real. And so after that, you know, everybody started calling me Superman. And it's just crazy how it happened, but going to the finals, and that journey was the best thing ever. You know, a lot of people talk about what happens when you get all the way to the finals, but nobody talks about that journey. Like, that was the best thing ever, you know, being on the bus with the guys, going through all the tough battles, being down in a series and having to look in the locker room and look at the guy next to you and say, hey, we're going to get through this together. And it was so much fun, and that's something you'll never forget, you know, just those moments like that.
Kind of a band of brothers, isn't it, that only you guys can relate to each other. Difficulties. How does your faith help you in the ups and downs of the NBA? I mean, there's just, you know, you play so many games and, you know, I mean, sometimes you're out there and you're a world, you know, taking the world on, and then, you know, you can't have a great game every night. You can't be Superman every night. How do you deal with that?
Well, you got to stay strong in who you are. You always, my dad taught me and being in the church, just never let anything affect who you are as a person. Never let anything steal your joy.
Yeah.
And I had allowed that to happen, you know, last season, the year before that. And that's never been me.
Yeah.
Everybody would always say, stop smiling so much and stop having so much fun. And I'm like, yo, I'm blessed.
Yeah.
You know, this is my dream. I've been playing in the NBA since I was 18. It's 10 years. Why not have fun doing it?
Yeah.
And that's one thing that my faith is just help me to be strong. Yeah. Be strong not only for myself, but for my teammates. We all prayed together before the game, and that's something that I started in Orlando when we would all come together and we would pray. And now me and a couple of my teammates, we actually do it right before they call the starting lineup. So we always make sure that we're covered before we go on the court. And that's something that has stuck with me since day one. You know, my dad always said, make sure you pray and you cover yourself.
Yeah.
So before the game, I pray at least 4 or 5 times before I step on the floor.
That's awesome.
And just basically just keeping me strong, you know, because there's so many things have been thrown at me on the court, off the court. And there's sometimes where I do fall.
Yeah.
But I always have to remember, you know, what I stand for and who's got my back at all times.
Yeah, no doubt. Isn't that great how the Lord is... you know, the grace of God, and, you know, we just keep stepping in His grace, breathing in His grace, man. That's what it's all about. But, Dwight, we love you. We appreciate you so much.
Thank you.
Anything else you'd like to share with us? You just share whatever you want to share, man.
Well, you know, I just want to tell the kids, you know, make sure you keep God first. Anything you want to do is possible. I've been playing basketball since I was 3 years old. And when I was 15, I broke my leg. And they said I wasn't going to be able to play basketball anymore. This is what people were saying. I wasn't going to make it to the NBA. I was too skinny. Wasn't strong enough. Yeah, I'm a big boy.
Yeah.
Now.
Uh-huh.
They said my school was too small. They said there's no way you can be a Christian and play basketball in the NBA. You know, I heard all that stuff. And that just pushed me, you know, to want to be better. It motivated me to stay in the gym. You know, I started working out. I got up at 4 in the morning every day in high school. I went to the track, went to the gym, went to the weight room. Then I went to class, and I did that every day. And that kind of just got me ready physically for basketball. And spiritually, one thing that I did is I stayed on my knees. I prayed a lot. And then when I went to church, you know, at first I would never sing because I thought it was too cool to just sing, you know, and just praise. I was like, man, I'm too cool for that. I'm just sit back, you know. And one guy, you know, said to me, if you want blessings, you better put your hands up and let them blessings fall down. So after that, I was, every day, I want to pray. And after a while, I started really enjoying it, singing and all that stuff, and just praising God. You know, it felt good. And
you didn't worry what people thought of you after
I
that?
I didn't care. My eyes was closed, and I was only focused on Him.
Yeah.
But everybody doubted me, you know, once I broke my leg. And God said, Dwight, I had to humble you. And before I broke my leg, I was number one in the state. I started to get recognition from all types of college coaches and stuff like that. And the girls were digging me a little bit. So I'm like, oh, this is nice. Some girls like me. And then when I broke my leg, all that stuff went away.
Wow.
And I was only injured for 6-7 weeks. And during that period, you know, all the people that said they were my friends, they were gone.
You learned that lesson early in life, didn't you?
All the girls who said they liked me, they went off to somebody who they thought was going to make it. And, you know, that's how it was. And I told God, I said, God, I would never, ever, you know, be cocky. I would always remain humble because I don't ever want this to happen again. And after that, I just promised myself and promised God that I was going to do whatever He asked me to do.
That's awesome. Well, you're honoring God, man.
Yes, sir.
God honors those who honor Him. And God uses sports, you know. I mean, when you use whatever He gives you gifts in, you know, a lot of people probably look at Dwight and think, man, he's so gifted. He's got it made. He's got all this talent. But then you heard his real story, you know, how he had to work and work and work and work. And that's what it means to honor God with the gifts that He's given you, the talent that He's given you. Whenever you give it your all, it honors God. You're a defensive guy. I mean, I know you score a lot. You're the greatest scorer in Orlando Magic history. But defense, man, you love defense, don't you?
I do. I mean, I think defense wins championships. It wins playoff series, and it's something that's overlooked. Everybody's worried about scoring and somebody who scores a lot of points. You know, but if you look at NBA history, and the guy that has the most titles, a lot of people who don't even know his name is Bill Russell.
Oh, yeah.
He has 11 titles, and it's all because of defense.
Yeah.
He didn't care about how many points he scored. He was, it wasn't selfish at all. You know, all he wanted to do was make his teammates better. And for a lot of young players, they don't understand that sacrifice. And in order to be great, in order to be special, in order to do certain things in life, you got to sacrifice. And whatever it is, you know, you have to make sure you sacrifice it.
That's awesome. Well, we know you do so many good works and do a lot of philanthropy, and you give back, and you're already doing that in Houston, and we appreciate that so much that, you know, you didn't wait very long at all before you just started getting in the community and giving back. And thank you, man. God bless you.
Give
this guy a huge thank you, and another welcome to Houston, you guys. Yeah.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. That was awesome. Awesome. Praise God. Awesome. Woo! Wasn't that great? And I do want you to invite your friends January 19th when Dwight comes back here and be with me live on Sunday. I just was really impressed with how he was so real about what he's gone through, And so really commit to pray for Dwight, would you? Really pray for him and his Christian walk and his growth. You know, he's just real honest about they didn't have it all together, but he's looking to the Lord. And really, that's the story of us all. We all are trophies of God's grace. It's all about breathing in God's grace. And I just want to say to somebody out there that thinks you've just gone too far away from the Lord, you can come back home today. He's the God of the second chance. He's the God of another chance because he loves you so much. And I want us right now to do something very important, to take God very seriously and to honor him. I want you to take out your program, and you'll see that there's an information sheet here. And just tear it off if you haven't already. And there's at the very top, it says Connect Card. And if you would say to me, Kerry, I don't know that I've ever received Christ and his free forgiveness in my life. I don't know that I have a personal relationship with Christ, but I want to. Then just put A, the letter A, and circle it, that you want to accept Christ. And we're not going to come to your house to bother you about that decision. We just want to help you grow in your faith. But just put A. Just make a commitment to the Lord today. And then if you would say, Kerry, I'm a Christ follower, but I haven't been honoring the Lord. I haven't been giving him my first and best. I haven't been really giving him the weight and the seriousness in my life and the importance in my life he deserves and demands. But I want to come back. And just put H and circle it, that you want to honor God this Christmas. And you want to start the new year honoring God, to put yourself into God's honor system, to experience what he wants you to experience, his blessings in your life. Let's bow together. Dear Lord, I pray right now for every one of us that you would just help us realize that, that your honor system is not about us honoring you so that we can get your approval or gain your love, but it's all about us honoring you because you love us so much and you forgive us, you strengthen us, and you change us. And I pray today that every one of us would just experience your grace. Pray for those who just put down A, they want to accept you today, that they would say these words in the silence of this moment. They would say, Dear Jesus, forgive me of all my sins. I need your grace. I need you to come into my life and take me to heaven one day. Be the Lord of my life. And Lord, I pray for every Christ follower here that we would recommit to honor, to honoring you first and honoring others, and that we would do it out of love, that we would humble ourselves and surrender to you because, Lord, so many times in my life, I've fallen flat on my face, but you're teaching me to get to my knees so that you can raise me up. Because, Lord, there's no one great but you, and we thank you for your greatness. And we thank you that you want to do great things through us when we humble ourselves before you. And as Dwight so powerfully said, Lord, help us to humble ourselves so you don't have to humble us. But I know that you love us so much that you'll do whatever it takes to be in a relationship with us. Lord, bless and strengthen us in Jesus' name. Amen.